There's a dude ranch in California that has a sign at its entrance. And the dude ranch sign at the entrance reads like this. At our dude ranch, we have all different kinds of horses for all different kinds of people. We have fast horses for fast people, and we have slow horses for slow people. We've got big horses for big people, and we've got small horses for small people. We have old horses for old people, and we've got young horses for young people. We have horses that have been ridden a lot for people who have ridden a lot. And we have horses that haven't been ridden at all for people who haven't ridden a horse at all. Yeah, right? World Communion Sunday, a lot of different aspects to this particular part of our worship service. I've been with you all 3 months, right? This is the third time we've celebrated the sacrament at this service together. So I want to talk about meanings behind things, okay? There are meanings behind things, particularly in architecture of a church and also on the sacrament, pertaining to the sacrament. Pertaining to architecture, there are 3 steps, and you all can guess what those mean, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that lead up to the altar. And also, we have on the altar the bread and the cup, and they are covered, okay? They are covered, and the covering represents the tomb. So after Jesus was crucified, he was laid in the tomb, and the cloth represents that tomb. So when I take the covering off, that represents the resurrection of Jesus, okay? And after we have celebrated the sacrament, putting the cloth back on the plate or the basket, in our case, and cup, represents the fact that we look forward to his coming again. So that's what that means. Another is that all of us were Roman Catholic at one time, and I know that, you know, I'm a third generation Methodist, but so when I say that, I say that historically, because the West Church, the Roman Catholic Church versus the Eastern Church, is where we Methodists come from. So from the Roman Catholic Church, we can thank Henry VIII for the Church of England, the Anglican Church, which John Wesley was a priest in the Anglican Church and started the Methodist societies. The mother church of Methodism is in the United States because it started here and then it went back to England. So the Catholic traditions that we have stayed with us. Some have stayed with us. So one of them that we don't practice but is still a part of what the Roman Catholic Church does and what we do is confirmation. We have confirmation class. They call it catechism. But what's different about and special about theirs is that they don't serve communion to children. Okay, they don't serve communion to children until they have gone through catechism, and that's where they take their first communion. And the reason for that is that when the Catholic Church started, they used to serve communion, the bread and the wine, to children. But when the priest, in their tradition, when the priest consecrates the elements, it becomes mysteriously transformed into the actual body and blood of Jesus. Children don't have the dexterity that adults do, right? So children spill the blood of Jesus when they take it, and they drop the crumbs of Jesus' body on the carpet. So it became a theological problem for them when it came to cleaning the carpet. What do you do with the blood of Jesus staining the carpet or the concrete or the tile in the sanctuary? You couldn't remove it. What do you do with the crumbs of Jesus whenever they fell onto the ground? Do you throw them outside? Do you eat them? What do you do? So they quit giving communion. All right? They quit giving communion to children until they went through catechism classes. This other doesn't have to do so much with communion, but it's in the category of bread. And we all love bread. Amen? Even gluten-free bread isn't too bad, right? It's good, right? Bread is bread. You know, so I want to share with you a little bit of history related to tortillas. Bear with me. Between the 12th and 15th century, the Roman Catholic Church had the institution of the Inquisition. And I'm not going to get into the Inquisition too much, thank God, but the Inquisition tortured people and burned them at the stake for being Jews, Muslims, or heretics. And thank God we're not going back to that. So most of the trials in Europe were held in Spain and Portugal, where there was a majority of Muslims. Okay, many of those Jews and Muslims fled, and the Jews fled to Mexico, Central America, and South America. So they fled, and the Inquisition followed to Mexico, Central America, and South America. It followed. So what the Jews did is that they began to make tortillas, which is unleavened bread, right? As in the Exodus story. And whenever a person served unleavened bread in their home, they were communicating to other Jews without them coming out and saying they were Jews because of the Inquisition, that this was a Jewish household. What happened is that flour tortillas wound up tasting better than corn tortillas, okay? My mother made homemade flour tortillas, right? They were big as pancakes. They were really, really good. And so that's why we have flour tortillas as part of our diet, not only in Mexico, but in America as well. Most of Central America and South America still use corn tortillas. We believe that the Holy Sacrament is a mystery. And it's a mystery that we struggle with, because we want to be able to categorize and have a clear understanding of what our faith teaches. But our faith, because many elements of it are a mystery, cannot be added up. For example, we can't add up the Trinity. Though there are three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one, right? They are one. So what we believe in the church is that it's not about how well we believe, which gets a lot of the denominations in trouble, about what you actually believe, but it's about what you give your heart to. It's about what we understand the mystery to be all about. And let me illustrate that for you. We don't tell a child that they cannot kiss grandma on the cheek unless they understand what it means. We don't tell a child that they cannot blow the candles off a birthday cake until they completely understand its meaning. So when children come up to receive the Holy Sacrament, I tell them, this is because Jesus loves you. Traditions are important. Doctrine is important. But it's not important, so important, that it gets in the way of love. It doesn't. Which brings us to this morning's scripture passage that Bobby read for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it's a very interesting passage. In fact, it's somewhat of a controversial passage, because many denominations push this passage as a way of saying that unless you understand what it means, you are going to be condemning yourself. And that's a lie. Okay? And let me tell you why. You see, what was going on in the Church of Corinth is that when they celebrated the sacrament of Holy Communion, it was like one of our fellowship luncheons. It's sort of like one of our covered dish luncheons, minus the chocolate cheesecake, the banana pudding, and the casseroles, right? Didn't have any of those things, right? But it was a feast, nevertheless. It was a big feast. And when they gathered together, people privileged themselves, entitled themselves to eat the lion's share. It'd be the same as if when I'm coming down to give you bread, you decided to break off half of it for yourself and eat it until you're finished. Paul is telling the church in Corinth, you need to examine your life. You can't just eat this bread and think that you understand what the Holy Sacrament is about. Because if you flippantly do that and entitle yourself to the lion's share of what the Holy Sacrament is about, then you're not reflecting on what the Holy Sacrament is. And to illustrate my point, I'm going to read from verse 33 and 34. So then, brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. People weren't waiting. Right? They were coming to the sacrament of Holy Communion. They weren't waiting for the sacraments to be, you know, blessed and to God given thanks. They were just starting to eat for themselves, okay? It'd be the same as if we had a fellowship dinner and people were starting to serve themselves at the fellowship dinner. That wouldn't be too cool. Here it is. So, brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home. I'm not making this up. Chapter 11, verse 34. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. Okay? So this scripture passage isn't about, if you don't understand what that means, then you're going to go to hell when you take it. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. All it's saying is that practice good etiquette, you know? Practice Texas hospitality, right? Actually, hill country hospitality. Let's narrow that down. And let me go ahead and share a story with you that, you know, we can't serve potato chips and Coke. It's got to be from the grain. It's got to be fruit of the grape. But even then, it goes so much deeper than that. And let me explain the mystery part. One of my mentors in ministry is a man by the name of Jerry J. Smith. He was a former district superintendent, and in fact, his son, Andy Smith, is our district superintendent, right? So, Jerry J. tells a story of a time when he pastored at St. John's United Methodist Church in Austin, Texas. And what happened was, he was the pastor of that church during the Vietnam War. During the Vietnam War, one of his church members was a prisoner of war at the famed Hanoi Hilton. Some of you might know what that is. Wikipedia has a long explanation of what the Hanoi Hilton was. But it was a very torturous prison camp. He was a prisoner there. And after the war was over, they released all the prisoners. And this man, for the sake of argument, we'll call him John, came home. He came home. And the town welcomed him, along with some of the other prisoners of war in Vietnam, and him. John came to the church, and that congregation welcomed him, and threw a fellowship covered dish meal to honor John's homecoming. Well, after everybody had said hello to John, and they were all welcoming him and had conversations with him, and Jerry J. went up to him and asked him, "John, how did you make it? How did you go through it?" And John answered, "It was because of the sacrament of Holy Communion." Jerry said, "You mean they served Holy Communion there at the Hanoi Hilton?" "No, they didn't. No, they didn't." "Well, then how did you do it?" And John said that so many taps on the wall meant the bread, and so many taps on the wall meant the cup. He said receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion as a reminder of the presence of Christ in a hellish place kept them alive. Now, the bishop would call me into his office again if I served potato chips and Coke. And we had the leisure of that, of having bread and juice. But today we celebrate the mystery of the presence of Christ in our life. And I invite you to celebrate that presence as well. To remember the words that Jesus said, that when we eat this bread and drink this cup, do this in what? Remembrance of me. Let us remember Jesus daily. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.